tonight we want to get into the matter of knowing, or as it's listed here, know our spirit, and know it in a way that it is subject to us. You might have a different concept, that the Holy Spirit is something and it just does something, and it may affect you and it may not affect you. The Spirit may fall on us tonight and it may not fall on us tonight. If you go to the altar, the Spirit may fall on you and it may not fall on you. You see, it's really chancy, guessy, and it leads to a lot of tremendous anguish if it doesn't fall on you, and it can lead to a lot of unbelievable pride if it does fall on you. So either way, it's a chance, right? The best way is to know not the falling spirit, which is, we don't condemn it as being wrong, but the reality of the New Testament is that the attention is by far, not just a little, but by far, the attention is paid to the indwelling spirit in our spirit from the time that we allowed the Lord Jesus to sincerely be a person inside of us. Okay? We were regenerated. We were saved eternally, and we're being saved daily, and we will continue to be saved in our soul life, basically, so that we are more and more and more and more like Him. And we'll also, we'll see later how we'll be saved as a member of the body of Christ, so that we will not be guilty of thinking, I'm just going to really have some personal thing, and it's just a kind of me and God type experience, and you know, we just take it for ourselves and go off and hide somewhere. Not at all. No, we're saved in a very, very thorough way. We'll touch it a little bit just because the points do. But our spirit is subject to us, and this is no clearer elucidated than 1 Corinthians 14:32. Okay? Here, Paul says, and the spirits, so that's the human spirit. This is not the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't say spirits, okay? This is all the spirits of the brothers who are the prophets, okay? The spirits of prophets are subject to who? Prophets! You know, we would say God, but this verse says the prophets. Okay, now, the whole context, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I should say the main context of it, is the meeting life and how you meet as Christian saints when you come together in gatherings, and what do you do? And it talks about we can and should all prophesy. Then it talks about doing it one by one by one, you know, so that there's no confusion, a nice order and so forth. And by the Lord's mercy, we have picked up this practice as the years have gone on and developed it to a better degree, right? We have not arrived, but it's better than it used to be. By far, okay? So we prophesy one by one. Check out 1 Corinthians 14. If you think us standing up to share something of Christ to the others is something off the wall, then just read 1 Corinthians 14 and you'll find out that everything else that's going on is off the wall, okay? To do that one by one by one is definitely God's ordained way, okay? Okay, so these are supposedly some that have some word of prophecy to give. And we know that that's not a prophecy in a way of prediction about some future event, but it's a way of prophesying to show forth and to magnify and to explain Christ, you see. The prophecies of the Old Testament, if you take them all and you just put them all in one big, you know, container and counted them, you would see the main... The vast majorities of prophecies were not predictions. They were explanations of what the coming Christ was all about and things of Christ and His kingdom and things like that. So this is the way to prophesy, to really be into the things that we read that Paul wrote down. His epistles really are a reflection on what he saw in the Old Testament that were the prophecies concerning Christ, okay? So, knowing that, he says the spirits of prophets are subject to us. In other words, we can control when we use our spirit. That's the point I want to get out of here. We control that. Don't think just this just relates to prophecy. It because the context is prophesying, you would that's true. But the principle is that the spirit is subject to us. We can pray when we want to. We don't have to wait on the inspiration for prayer. You know, the Psalms do say, wait on the Lord. But they never say, wait on a prayer. So, you can wait on the Lord. But the best way to wait on the Lord is to wait on Him by praying. You see? So, our spirit, you see, when we call on Him, when we turn to Him, the Bible says, whenever the heart turns to the Lord, you know, the veil is taken away. So when we turn to the Lord, then we get a contact with the Spirit. And if it seems a little faint, just keep doing it, keep exercising, and so forth, and it will be stronger and stronger. The person who's most out of it, if he will turn to the Lord, sometimes there may be a real hard repentance because of the situation, but if he'll just start to exercise, the first day will be better, and the second day will be even better than that, and the third day will be even better than that. And finally, you'll recover your exercising of your spirit function, and you will become quite comfortable and quite used to the habit of exercise your spirit.
Amen.
Before you do anything with any other part of your being, you see, exercise your spirit. Okay.
Amen.
Then James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. So you see, it's kind of like, I'd like it kind of reversed, you know. If God draws near to me, well then of course I'll draw near to Him. But that's true. That is true. But here's another side of the story.
Right.
Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you, you see. So we need to do this. If you really feel close to God, draw near to Him anyway. If you feel far from God, draw near to Him. And you'll see the principle. He will keep His side of the deal. He will draw near to you.
Yeah.
You see, this is a little divine bargain here, you see. Draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you. Okay? Then Romans 8:6 says, for the mind set on the flesh is death. I think we all could relate to that. If our mind goes that direction, then we're in the flesh, and so we will be spiritually dead. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. The mind set on the Spirit. Little s, this is our spirit. So when we set our mind on our spirit, you see, and we can do this through prayer and calling on His name and praying to Him and reading the Word and fellowshipping and a lot of things like that. Really what we're doing tonight is setting our mind on our spirit, you see, through this kind of exercise. Well, when we do that, then we get life and peace. But I like this little word, set, you see. It implies a kind of an active thing that we get to do as a legitimate act. Set. The mind set. Well, set is a pretty strong word, you know, set. Who set? Who set it there? You see, this implies we have the volition to set our mind, and even the obligation to set our mind on our spirit. And then, instead of the flesh, you will enjoy the riches of Christ, which bring life and peace. How many times have you been in something of anxiety, turmoil, confusion, and you just stop and turn to the Lord and set your mind on the Spirit, and He brings in life and peace. Don't you think so? Well, that's what this says. This is the way it works. It works. I assure you, this is not a lie, you see. If you can say, well, I just don't, it doesn't work, or I don't know how. If that is the case, then here is the deal. You're not used to it. You haven't gotten used to it. You see, once you build up the habit and get used to it, you'll see it works every time. Okay. So start wherever you are, start until you get so used to it. Then you'll see. Just you will have the same testimony that Paul had in this verse. Then Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, let us also, having so great a cloud of witnesses," these are all the dead saints, Old Testament and New Testament, that have gone before us. You see, we have a big cloud that we cannot see, and they're watching us. Paul says, put away every encumbrance. Put away. It's a commandment, really. Put it away. And the sin which so easily entangles us. That's a sharp word there. You know, sin is about to wrap itself around your neck if you're not vigilant. So this is a real, you know, pithy type of word here. You better take heed to it, and as well as I, because it says it so easily entangles us. This even sounds like a snake to me. You know, it does. It sounds like a snake. So easily entangles us. You know, just, let me just wrap it around and squeeze and choke you to death. You know, so. We have to guard against that. Then it says another command for you to do. It says, and run with endurance the race which is set before us. See, so again, something for us to take a step. If we take a step, the Lord will meet us, you see. But the key is exercise our spirit. And that's something that our soul can choose to do. Our soul being the reality of what we are. See, we can choose to do that.